Good morning. Woo, happy Easter. It's Resurrection Sunday. Amen. All right, this is awesome because there are so many people in this room right now. For those of you who are coming in, there are some seats. They're sparse. So I'm going to ask you if you've got some space that you can move in so that we can, you know, see what's available here on the outside so that we can get as many people in here and get all of these seats filled up. So it's okay. Keep coming in, folks. We've got some seats up front here. Just so excited for today and what this day represents. And if we haven't had the opportunity to meet, my name is Carissa. I have the privilege of connecting with our new guests here at the church. And it's just such a wonderful privilege that I get to do here. I'm so grateful. So if you are new here, we want to extend that extra special welcome to you. We're so thankful that you chose to worship with us this morning, and we are glad to be able to celebrate here together. If you're looking to get connected, we have some awesome volunteers out at the Info Center and the New Here kiosk just right outside these doors in our lobby. We've got a little gift that we would love to give you as just a tangible way to thank you for coming this morning. We'd also just love the opportunity to meet and say hi and get to know you a little bit better. I'm going to be hanging out there after the service as well. But really, really glad that you guys are here this morning and hope that you leave feeling filled up and encouraged. Amen. All right, well, two things that I don't want to forget to share about. Next Sunday is a big Sunday as we're going to be hosting an event called Discovering WCC. If you've never heard about this, this is an opportunity for you to come, hear about how our church was founded, hear about our mission and why we do what we do, and then also how you can find belonging. So it's a great space for you to come. We have breakfast, we have a fun little giveaway, and really just to experience community. Some of our elders will be there, some of our pastors, and we would really love the opportunity to share a little bit about us, but then also hear a little bit about you. So we do ask, it's a free event, but this is something that we ask you to register for so that we have enough food and enough materials to hand out. You can find out more information at the Info Center. People can help you get registered or online through the flyer, through that QR code on one of the seats in front of you. I also want to encourage and invite everybody to come back next week as we begin a new sermon series called Unlearning Religion. And a little bit later, Todd is going to give you more information about that. But this is a great opportunity to continue to invite your friends and family into, as for the next several weeks, we're going to be unpacking what that looks like and what it truly looks like to have a relationship with Jesus and how we live this out. So just a couple things for you, but super excited about the service today. Alexi.
Hey, Carissa.
Good morning. This is my friend Alexi.
Good morning, Carissa.
Okay, so I see you're going to be hiding some eggs.
Yeah, I just wanted to get these out here for our skit real quick. Is that all right?
Oh, yeah, that's perfect. Okay, so before our little skit here begins, I would like just to take a moment, take a deep breath. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and prepare our hearts for the message this morning. Father God, we are so thankful to be able to be in this space with you. Father God, I pray that for every heart and for every mind, Lord Jesus, that you would come and just fill us up. We thank you for the hope that we have in you, the hope of the resurrection that lives on the inside of us. And we thank you so much that we can gather here together today and worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Have you ever wondered who came up with eggs and bunnies to celebrate Easter? I mean, I suppose I could just Google it, but who really wants to work that hard anyways? All right, we're starting the hunt. To be honest, I don't really care who came up with it, because there's something special about cracking open an egg. Am I right? I mean, anything could be in here. Toys, candy. My personal preference is money. But every now and then, you've got the unfortunate luck of finding an empty egg. Now, maybe An empty egg might be a better symbol for Easter than a full one. Hear me out. Think about the very first Easter morning. The disciples had no clue what was going on. No idea. We've got the benefit of hindsight. Take Mary Magdalene. She gets to the tomb first. She goes into the tomb, and what does she find? It's empty. Completely distressed, Mary goes to find Peter and John. They show up to the tomb, and what do they find? It's empty. Empty's a negative word. My stomach is empty. The gas tank is empty. The house, since the kids left, is empty. Empty feels like disappointment. And on that very first Easter morning, nobody understood empty better than Jesus' disciples. They had empty hearts and empty hope. But you see, the thing is, Jesus takes empty things and he fills them. Empty tombs become resurrection miracles. Empty hearts are filled with love. And empty hope, it overflows with everlasting purpose. Yeah. Jesus specializes in empty. Because Jesus emptied himself that we would be filled with a love that was meant to save the world. But to be honest, when I look around, I look at the world, it feels alone. It feels isolated. It feels empty. But maybe, just maybe, this very Easter, beyond the eggs and the candy and the chaos, can I ask you a question? Will you allow Jesus to fill your emptiness?
Alone in my sorrows and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. Released from my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down. darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with a freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, we're free, free, forever, we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested, my
worship.
It's so good, I almost can't believe it. Far beyond what hearts could ever dream. The God who set the galaxies in motion would descend to give his life for me. For what could make perfection bleed for sinners? What leads a king to pay so great a cost? All my life, my heart will sing the answer. Only the love of God. Singing, oh, how great is the love of God. He paid our debt on that rugged cross. comprehend it. It's so high, too marvelous for words. I could sing a million songs about it and barely scratch the surface of your word. This all my life, the banner I'll be waving, my anthem cry, no matter what may come. And when I rise to walk the streets of heaven, I'll still be singing this song.
Amen. God's love for us is so great. I'm so thankful we get to be together and worship Him today. Before we go into this next song, I wanted to read from Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw Him, they worshiped Him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." So let's celebrate today.
The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. The Savior knelt to wash our feet. Now at His feet we bow. The One who wore our sin and shame, now robed in majesty, the radiance of perfect love, now shines for all to see. To Christ our King.
Pray that every single person in this room would walk out of here with that resurrection life in their hearts. That we would carry you with us everywhere we go. What joy we celebrate today together. Have your way today, Lord, in a message, in our family time. God, I just pray you would be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
He is risen. Amen. He is risen indeed. The emphasis on indeed. When someone says he is risen and we reply with he is risen indeed, it's actually saying, yeah, that's true, but I believe it even more than you. So in the future, if somebody says to you, he is risen, you say,
he is risen.
Amen. I believe it even more than you. I don't think we can measure our faith in that way, but that's the intent. I really believe that too. And we are celebrating the risen Lord. And it is a celebration as we think of what God accomplished in the resurrection. And so we celebrate that. And whether you're here in the room or out there in the foyer or wherever you're at watching online, I just pray that we will celebrate the risen Lord. Because it's the evidence. The resurrection is the evidence that God accepted Christ's sacrifice for our sin. If Christ wasn't the acceptable sacrifice, God would not have raised him to new life. It would not have satisfied his justice or his wrath, his judgment. The resurrection is proof that God accepted Christ as that perfect sacrifice for our sins. So we celebrate. We celebrate the fact that God has power over life and death. We celebrate the fact that Christ was willing to go to the cross, carry our sin to the grave, and to be raised to new life. And we think about Christ who lived a life that we could not live, and he died the death that we should have died. There's something called substitutionary atonement. That just means that he took our place. He took your place. He took my place. I love how Colossians described the resurrection, talking about Jesus. In chapter 1, verse 18, it says that he is the first. He's the first one that was resurrected. But he's not the last. There are others who will be resurrected just like Jesus Christ, resurrected from the dead. So who are those others? Who are those people that are going to be resurrected from death to life? Well, Jesus himself answered that question. And he's talking to Martha. And he's talking about the resurrection, and she's thinking it's some abstract thing far away and far removed. Yeah, maybe that's something that we learned about when I was in the temple, or I was in the synagogue, or I've heard this taught, this vague idea of the resurrection. And Jesus tells her this in verse 25 of chapter 11. I and the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me, believes in me, will never ever die. Do you believe this? And so that question is in the text. Jesus is asking Martha, do you believe this? And I'm asking you this morning, that's a question that every one of us should be wrestling with. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life? Scripture tells us that no one goes to the Father except through him. It's impossible. We can't be good enough. We can't be disciplined enough. We can't try hard enough. Our sin separates us from God. And because of that separation, we needed a Savior. Because of our sin, we needed a Savior. Because of our selfishness, we need a Savior. And Jesus Christ is that Savior. He is the resurrection, and he is the life. So who are these others? Those others are anyone who has placed their faith in what Christ has done for them on the cross to be sufficient payment for that sin. And I'm telling you, it's sufficient. It's so sufficient that that's why God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection is the proof of that acceptance. Who are these others? anyone who believes. We know from John 3:16 and other verses like it that God sent his Son. And anyone who believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That this idea that when death comes and our spirit, our soul is separated from our bodies in physical death, that our spirit will live on. And if you've placed your faith in Christ, your spirit is resurrected to new life with God the Father and Christ and the Holy Spirit in the Trinity of the Godhead in heaven forever. That's what's at stake. Nothing more significant, nothing more important than that. And you know, as we celebrate today, I think it was last year, maybe 2 years ago, there were 2.32 billion people celebrating Easter all over the world. And yet somehow I think that this is more important than all that, us. And you know what? That's not just something I think, because our God is personal. And yes, people around the world are giving testimony and declaring their faith in Christ and their belief in the power of God to raise things and give life to dead things and to speak life and to be involved with resurrected life. That's what we sang about. That's what we're talking about. But he sees each one of us. And he knows each one of us. And he cares deeply about it. You know, when I think about this past week, there's something we do in the church and religious. We call things like Good Friday. Well, that will certainly be, as we'll see, a matter of perspective. And in the last week of Jesus' life, we call, listen, Holy Week. We call it the Passion. You know what it is? The intent is suffering. It's the week of suffering. And yes, on Palm Sunday, which we celebrated last week with the palms and the kids up here waving those, Jesus coming in, presenting himself as the king because he was the king. And he comes in on a donkey signifying the peace that he was intending to bring. And people were singing, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Lord. But as that week went on, we get to what we call Good Friday. And we call that because as Alexi was talking about, we have hindsight. And that's 2020, right? We know what's coming. It's already happened. The disciples didn't. They didn't know it was happening. In fact, right before the Last Supper, there's a couple of disciples saying, hey, Jesus, when you're king, can I be at your right hand and my brother be at your left? Can we rule with you? I want to be right by you, Jesus, not because I love you, because I want the power that you're going to have. You're going to be the Lion of Judah. That's who the Messiah was. He was going to be the one that came and rescued him from Rome. He was not only that, he was going to be the one that set everything right. He was going to stop the abuse of the poor and the oppressed, the weak and the innocent. That's what he was going to do. He's going to be this great king, and they wanted to be there. But then we see what happened. Jesus is betrayed with a kiss. And it wasn't just Judas. We know that Peter denied him. 3 times he denied him. That he didn't even know who Jesus was. And the disciples are scattered. And Jesus is arrested and he stands before this puppet court, the sham of a court. Think about this. The judge of the universe is being judged by his creation. Think of that for a second. They lie about him. They call him a blasphemer and they say these things and they have no power to put him to death. So they send him on to Pilate and Pilate talks to him. Well, not much of a conversation. Pilate knows he's innocent. But Pilate's a politician. So he takes it to the people. You know, these same people that were just saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That those same people are now gathered, and Pilate wants to release them. He wants to get out of this horrible situation. It feels like lose-lose to him. And so he presents Jesus to be released on the Passover. And instead of saying Hosanna, they say crucify. Crucify. Those same people. So Pilate takes him, and the guards strip him. They beat him, flog him, whip him, jam a crown of thorns on his head. We could go on about that pain and that suffering. Ultimately, they parade him just outside of the city, and they nail him to a cross. I want to read Matthew 27, 45. He's on this cross. He's near death, and he hangs there suffocating in his own blood. His heart is pressed and pumping and pumping. It says this in Matthew 27, verse 45 and 46. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? He didn't even mention the disciples that had abandoned him, that were running scared, that were hiding. Think about that for a minute. Why would he say that? Why have you abandoned me? Why have you deserted me? I need you now more than ever. Ultimately, Christ dies right after that, on that old rugged cross. Only John and a few of the females, ladies that had followed him. Everyone else was too scared. Their world had come apart when Jesus was arrested, and now he's crucified. Now he's dead, and they take him to a tomb, and they put him in a tomb, and they roll a stone over it. And when that stone rolls, it is over. Jesus is dead. Put yourself in the position of one of those disciples. It'd be easy to be hard on them. Imagine maybe we're a lot different than they are. I mean, they knew Jesus. They'd followed Jesus. They knew he was sinless. They knew he'd actually said, hey, I'm going to have to suffer and die, and on the third day I'll be raised to life. Hey, it's only a couple days. We got to wait this out. It's tough for a few days. It's a long weekend. But then I'm going to come back to life. Here's this Jesus who only loved people. He only cared for people. He was kind and he was gentle. He was gracious. He was an amazing teacher. And they knew that. They'd seen him do miracle after miracle. And when he's arrested, they scatter. Can you imagine what's going through their mind? The doubts? Maybe disillusioned? Wouldn't you be? I thought he was going to be the king of the Jews, a real king, the Lion of Judah, not the lamb. They wanted this lion, this predator that's going to set things right by his power. Even though John the Baptist, before Jesus even started his ministry, said what about Jesus? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Who takes away the sins of the world. Right? And here's this lamb. If you know the history and the custom that God had instilled, that they were to take a spotless lamb without a blemish to be a sacrifice, to be an atonement, to cover their sin until the Messiah comes, until the Lamb of God comes and takes away and pays for it once and for all. That's what Jesus was doing. But they wanted a king. They wanted someone to rule with the power to make things right. What about you? Have you ever been disappointed with God? You ever been disillusioned? I have. And just like the disciples, when I was expecting God to do this, and then this happens. What is he doing? Why would he do that? Does he see me? Does he care? Does he even know? Because if he knew, and I've been praying, I've been asking, and then this tragedy happens, this loss and this pain happens, and I know that God is in control, and yet he allowed that, I struggle. I start wondering, man, did I read that right? Was I taught right? I thought because I served God and was a missionary that things were going to go better than they're going for me. I thought he said he was going to take care of me, and I thought that meant this, and he disappoints me. Just like the disciples were disappointed that Jesus wasn't the king. He didn't meet their expectations. And so they waited. They waited for 3 days. That Friday night when Jesus is buried, it goes into Saturday, and they're waiting, and they're waiting, and they're waiting, and then Sunday morning, and they're still waiting. And they're not waiting for the resurrection. They're waiting for the next shoe to drop. They're fearful and they're doubtful. And what about us? Jesus had told him, I'm going to be resurrected. God has the power over death and life. But they doubted, and I doubt too. I imagine you go through seasons when you can't figure out why God would let that happen. And that gets us to that part where Jesus is crying out saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? Because in that moment, all of the evil, all of the injustice, all of the selfishness, all of the trauma, all of the pain, all of my sin, all of your sin went on to Jesus. And God, because he's just, he cannot wink at sin. The wages of sin is death. There has to be a payment, and that payment is death. And Jesus took upon him your sin and my sin, and anyone who places their faith in him, that puts their trust and reliance on what he did, is that payment for sin. He carried that sin, all the evil, all the trauma, all the horrible injustice, all the things that we don't understand. He carried it on that cross. He literally had the weight of the world on his shoulders. The weight of the world. And he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because God is just. And the payment of sin is death. So Jesus died and he was buried. But he didn't stay there. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 7, speaks of that Sunday morning where they should have all been waiting. They should have been around the grave, just waiting for Jesus to be raised to life. But they weren't. It says this: early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was laying, and now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I told you." I love it that the first messengers of the resurrection are two women. You want to talk about a patriarchal society that they were living in? They couldn't, let alone vote. They couldn't even go into court and give testimony. And that's the first people that God sends the message to. And they're to take the message out and tell the disciples that Jesus is going to be in Galilee. He is alive. He is risen. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. Go meet him. How much for us? That's what Jesus has done. That's why he took the sin of the world upon his shoulder, my sin and your sin. He died because of it. And then on the third day, he was resurrected to new life. You know, we're talking about those times and that space when we're following Christ, we're waiting. We have doubts and we kind of deconstructing things, and things aren't the way they should be. And why doesn't God do that? And I don't understand that. And I'll be honest, I don't understand a lot about why God allows some things to happen. I don't know. And it doesn't help me all that much to say, well, someday you'll know. Well, today isn't someday. Today is today. And we're walking on that journey. But let me just tell you something. If you've placed your faith in Christ, this is what Jesus is saying to you this morning. This is what he's saying. I'm waiting for you. The message comes. I'm at the right hand of the Father. I am waiting for you. That's the promise that we have in the resurrection. That when our bodies die and our soul is separated from our bodies, that we, those of us who've placed our faith in Christ and Christ alone, will meet him in heaven. That's the beauty of the gospel, this gospel of grace. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm going to read verses 3 through 7 because Paul is talking to a church that's a mess. I mean, this church is a mess. And the beauty is this. He still writes them. He's trying to correct them. But he ends the chapter this way, the book, the letter this way. Verse 3, "I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins," love this, "just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles." Can we see that picture of the tomb and the resurrection? You know, that's evidence. All these people sing, that's evidence that Christ was raised from the dead. In fact, Paul's saying, this is the most important thing. He died, he was buried, he rose again. And what happens in that message, it's the most important thing, and that's the message of Easter. Because by faith in Christ, there is a resurrection from death to life, from darkness to light, from condemnation to redemption. That's why we celebrate Easter. Maybe you're in one of those seasons where you're doubting. Maybe I misunderstood what God said. Maybe I don't really know. It just doesn't seem like this is what should be happening. And then you look at the resurrection. And maybe if you could talk to those eyewitnesses, all 500, 600 of them, maybe that would give you more evidence, but it's not proof. I think the proof is in the disciples themselves. You know, the guys that were hiding and afraid, after they see Jesus raised from the dead, they were no longer hiding. They went out and told everyone about the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to the point all but John, the only disciple who was at the foot of the cross when Christ was crucified, all the other disciples ended up being crucified because they wouldn't stop telling people that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. Amen? That is the message of the gospel. That is the hope that we have, because Jesus is alive and he lives forevermore. And we may be in a season right now. We're in that space after the cross and before the resurrection. That's where we live our lives. But the resurrection is coming. The resurrection is coming. And we're going to meet him there. I'm going to ask the worship team to come out and lead us through a final moment of just really worshiping Christ and who he is. And I pray that we'll take that message. We'll take that message. And we'll recognize in that message that we won't provide the proof that some people will want and need, because the resurrection is supernatural and it is a miracle. And I do believe in miracles, and I believe in the miracle and the supernatural act of God that conquered sin and death. Let's stand as we sing and worship him, the one who's been resurrected. Oh,
One head gets to wear that crown, 'cause there's nobody in the graveyard. No enemy can hold you down, 'cause there's nobody in the grave now. One head gets to wear that crown, 'cause there's nobody in the grave now. No enemy can hold you down, 'cause there's nobody in the grave now. One head gets to wear that crown, 'cause there's nobody in the grave now. No enemy can hold you down, 'cause there's nobody in the grave now. One head gets to wear that crown, 'cause there's nobody in the grave now. Light of the world, Lamb that was slain, dying to us, mighty to save. The fullness of God won't be kept to the grave. Darkness, your hour is.
There's no body in the grave because he is risen. Amen?
Amen.
Let's celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. And I hope to see all of you back here next week. We're starting a new series. We're going to be looking at things that hinder our faith, things that we have learned maybe from religion. And we're going to just take a look at some of those things and compare that to what God says so that we might know him better and fall deeper in love with him. There's resources for this message on the QR code, or you can go to our website. There's a lot of good stuff that we put on there about the resurrection, the validity of it. But let us be the reason people know there was a resurrection as we go out into this world that so desperately needs this message and the power of God in our lives to resurrected life. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we are just overwhelmed with you, your goodness, your plan that we don't understand. We don't have that ability, and yet we trust you. We love you, and we know it's a miracle that you raised your son to new life as a testimony of the power over sin and death, and we are so grateful. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Have a great Sunday.